Right.
Order.
Now we can.
Hey,
Thank you.
Let's call this meeting to order at 10:02. Chair Doug Mangione, and let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's honor the flag that represents the Republic and hope it stays intact. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have a board roll call.
Gloria Alvarado.
Here.
Doug Mangione.
Here.
Thea Felice Smith Covisio. Sherry Han Lam. Rajesh Shah.
Here.
Tony Washington.
Here.
Perfect. We have quorums.
Okay. At this time, members of the public may address the youth committee regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided no action is taken on off agenda items unless authorized by law. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Is there anyone from the public that would like to make a comment at this time?
That's
seeing none, I'll go right into the youth committee. So we're a standing committee. We support planning, operations, and oversight of the Wioa Youth Services. Ensures alignment with Wioa priorities for youth employment, training, and education. Focuses on reducing barriers, expanding career pathways, and improving outcomes for youth, including out-of-school youth and those facing significant challenges. So right now, we can move right into the presentation. Staff Sergeant Janet Medina, you'd like to come up and present to us, please.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sergeant Medina. I work at the CAJC, California Job Challenge. I've been in the National Guard for 6 years. And I came in as an E4, graduated from college, and then went into the workforce about 2 years. And then I decided I needed more. And I joined in the National Guard. So, Sergeant Simone.
Real quick, Gloria's. Your daughter just retired from Marine Corps.
So. In a week.
In a week. In She's a retiring week. In a week. So
I'm exciting.
25 years
yeah.
of service.
Wow.
Active duty? Yes. He's a gunny.
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 Oh.
Gunny.
He's seven, right?
That's an E.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seven. Okay. Sergeant Savani was going to be here, but he sends his apologies. He couldn't be here. He had an appointment. Okay. This is our mission statement, providing the challenge program graduates with post-secondary career education, training and concurrent to high school education leading to service industry certificates, college credits, and high school diploma resulting in job placement. It's very wordy, but ultimately we want our kids to graduate high school if they haven't graduated high school. So if they go to the youth challenge and they come to the job challenge, they are able to finish their high school with us. And at the same time, they have a full day. They start in the morning at 5 a.m. and then move on to the college, LBCC, or whatever pathway they've chosen. And after their college, they go into physical training with us. And then right after they go into dual enrollment. If they haven't graduated high school, they go into dual enrollment and finish that. And ultimately when they graduate with us, we hope that they are placed in some type of job for the chosen.
You want the clicker? Is it better if you have
it? I have it.
Okay.
Yeah. Eligibility requirements. So our kids have to be graduates from the Youth Challenge programs. We have three different in the state. We have one in Stockton, DCA, and then one in Central Post in Grizzly Youth. It's Youth Academy in Camp Slow, and then Sunburst Youth Challenge next door to us, the JFTB in Los Alamitos. Our kids are ages 17 to 20. It's a volunteer program as well. They are not mandated by anybody. The court may suggest you this option for them to go this way and this route so that they can get out of their probation or something, but ultimately it's a volunteer program. Like I mentioned, they are either graduates from their local high school or from the youth challenge that they came from, or they can graduate with us as well. They have to be willing to be drug-free. We do drug test them, not when they first initially come in, because we know that they come maybe with some exposure from their home coming into us, but when we do have a home pass, they do get drug tested, and because of the expectation that they should be drug-free by the time they go home. Mentally and physically capable of completing the program. It's difficult to both physically and mentally, because they are away from their home. Maybe their second time around coming to our program, and it's mentally draining. It's a full day. If the kid hasn't graduated high school, they are away from 5 a.m. and they don't go to sleep till 9 in the evening. So, citizens are lawful permanent residents of the U.S. and California. Yes, so they have to be residents and citizens, states, and not have any felonies or any criminal backgrounds. Any questions so far? Okay.
Are they paid for their time?
No. Program format. So throughout this, throughout the year, we have two cycles. It's 5 minutes or 5 months, January to June, and then August to December. It goes simultaneously at the same time that the youth charity programs have theirs going on as well. The program runs 20 weeks, those two cycles for the three pathways that we have at LVCC. We have the welding, construction, and auto. The 10-week cycles are for security and CNA. So those two, we have four of those in the year. There's two in the first cycle, January to June, and then August to December, we have two others. Let's see, we do have, so we're moving into Mentor Pro pilot. In ours, with our job challenge, we don't have any mentors, but from the youth challenge, they are required to have mentors and guide them through their journey in the youth challenge. But so now for us, for job challenge, we're working with our bosses, hires, to be able to have our staff be the mentors for our kids. And that should be implemented in the next year or so. Acclimation phase, it's 3-day minimum. It's reacclimating the kids back into where this type of environment, right? They're away from their home again. Some kids have been away from Youth Challenge program for about maybe a year or two, or some kids come right after the Youth Challenge to come to us, but they have a little bit of break, either 6 months or just a month from the transition from the high school or from the Youth Challenge to us. So it's just reacclimating them into you're in this environment again, learning how to present, speaking to sergeants and yes or no, ma'am, just the whole language, the military lifestyle. We do have three phases, the red, white, and blue. And it does come with cell phone privileges. So I think that's something different from the Youth Challenge program. When they're with us, they get their cell phone privileges. It's more of an adult, but we don't want to keep the cell phones away from them too much. Our target every year is to graduate at least 150. And then they do have uniforms. Every Friday, we do have a formation. And they are required to wear their CDUs, which is like a khaki, khaki top, khaki bottoms with some khaki boots. And throughout the rest of the Monday through Thursday, they wear their pathway uniforms to school. And we do have a one home pass per cycle as well. And that's coming up in April for this cycle. Any questions? So CNGBN is our Bible. We call it because it tells us a little bit about how to run the program. It goes down from what the position of job description to what to expect day-to-day life in both youth challenge and job challenge, the ins and outs basically. So CNGBN is our Chief National Guard Bureau manual, and this is the results from what our mentors should be reporting and placement numbers. We do get funding for when we get placements, or that's how we get audited. When they get placed, that's how we get, we are being told that this, you're doing a good job, basically. These are our partners. So we partnered with Long Beach City College, where I mentioned our three pathways are the construction, automotive, and welding. Sentry is our newest one as well. We're our security pathway. We have Ready Set OC, the biggest one we work with, CCPA, College Career Preparatory Academy, which is our high school. Windsor School of Nursing is our CNAs, and Pathways is our newest one. And that's our other high school.
We added the Workforce Development Board because they fund Ready Set OC.
Yes. Yeah. So Ready Set OC is our biggest and our biggest blessing at our academy because they, Hugh and Diane work very close with me, and we communicate very well on what we're planning for the rest of the cycle. What we have workshops every, we have workshops every Friday from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock for our kids. It's that's basically resume building. They do job skills. They do substance abuse, and that all of those workshops covers our eight core components and for our kids to be known to be graduates of our program. So yeah, Ready SOC also does our job fairs. We bring our kids to the Brea location, and our kids are able to go and speak to local companies. Okay. Do you want me to add anything else?
Good. Okay. So that's all through the board.
Right. Our automotive technology is one of the LBCC's partners. These are our some of the certificates that our kids get who are in the automotive program. This cycle is very, we had a lot more students going to the automotive, and it's great because it's one teacher per all of our kids. And it's usually mixed intertwined with the public kids coming or students coming into the LBCC. But this cycle, it's awesome that we have one instructor for all of our kids, and they're able to ask more questions. It's a one-on-one, and our instructor there is very good with our students. This is one of the newest automotive instructors at LBCC. The security pathway is also, it's growing. This is our third cycle running this, this program, and Ready Set OC also brought this program in for us. Paul is great, and Thomas as well. They work great with us. They love our kids. They're getting pepper sprayed next week, and I think they're super excited. It's just something that I don't think that anyone really gets to go through unless you're going through law enforcement or you're in the military and you're going through MP school or security.
The kids are excited.
They're excited.
And it's only volunteers.
So, yeah. We have three kids in the security pathway this cycle. So we're hoping that it does increase for the next upcoming cycles and the next upcoming years. I think it's an interesting, a great pathway to have for both male and female. We've been only getting males in this pathway, but I hope that it encourages females to also go through the program. These are also the certificates that our kids get. The certified nursing assistant was also brought on by Ready Set OC. We had previously a different partner, but with Windsor School of Nursing, they have our numbers have just increased with the testing. Windsor does a very good job with our kids and working with them, going through the written exam a couple of weeks before they have the actual state exam, and then doing the hands-on training with them as well. They open their doors for us to get extra training with our kids, and yep, the kids are doing much better at this program than our previous. And these are also the ones that their certifications that they get with Windsor School of Nursing. This is also our biggest with females and males this cycle too. We have 23 kids that are going through this program, and they are to graduate on April 1st.
Hmm.
Welding at Long Beach City College. These are some of the classes that our kids get. We are working close to welding to be able to get a certificate for our kids so that they can present whenever they go to a job location and just give the company, this is the courses that I went through at LBCC. Construction trades as well. This cycle is also the biggest cycle we have, with the most amount of kids at this in this pathway. So YCAJC, our class eight is our final placement percentage at 100%. So what that means is all of our kids that graduate in class A are all 100% placed. So they are either at wherever they wanted to go, or they have found a different job, or they're going to school. It's their place. They're somewhere where they're working more than I think it's 40 hours a week, and so that is considered them placed, or their full time school. 44 of our kids in the past 3 cycles have enlisted in the military. 136 graduates this past year. Completing high school requirements. Like I mentioned earlier, all of our kids before they graduate with us, that's one of our requirements for them to graduate high school. And they are getting real world training through our partners. Supporting CJC, promoting the program for students who may be a good fit. This is more where I speak to like SYA, GYA, and DCA, so that they can promote our program at their location, so that when their kids are getting ready to graduate, they send them over to us so that we can continue on that education with their kids. And at the end of the day, we're all working with the same environment of kids. They're all a good fit for this program. I don't think that this program is a negative for any of the kids. And I always try to get the kids to understand that. But I think that at that young age, 17 to 20, they're still trying to understand themselves, still trying to fix home, or still trying to go through their ups and downs back home. But this program is just, it has so many opportunities. And I wish that more of our kids took advantage of those, the things that we're giving to them, especially those Friday workshops that they have going on all cycle. It always does help with providing constructive feedback for program to improve. And this cycle, I'm going to start working with our partners, the Ready Set OC and the ones that follow, like EDD, APA, Laura's House has been great as well, to get some feedback and see where they think that we need more improvement on. See. Partnership during the student's time in the program as an additional support in times for struggle. This cycle, we've had a lot of help from our YCP Youth Challenge program. We've had a couple kids emotional, stressed. So we will have our counselor from the YCP SYA, since they're next door, come over and speak to their kid, because they're still within that post-secondary or placement time. So they are able to come over and speak to our kids. So it's helped a little bit, but there's still that struggle. Any questions? This is Sergeant Harden. He is retiring in June, so we're sad to see him go. He's been at all of the programs from DCA to SYA to GYA for the past 20 years. So that is it for me. Any questions?
I have a comments. We toured. Do you have a question?
Oh no, go ahead.
We toured Sunburst out there at Los Alamitos a few years back. MC3 is getting incorporated into that program, but this is, it's like a military boot camp. That we went to the mess hall and they were all sitting there. They all had their uniforms on and eating. And it's very disciplined. So a lot of these folks coming out of, you know, their families send them there. They're coming out of, you know, whatever situations they're in. And it's an eye opener from them. But one of the guys we were touring with at the building trades, nephew, went through this program, and he said my nephew went through this program. It has been, you know, a night and day change in his attitude, because they're immersed in this. It's not like they go there like school, come home, meet with their friends. They are in this program, and they do physical activity. We saw them, you know, running in the platoons. You know, it's pretty amazing to see, and very worthwhile.
I just had a question. I think Doug answered the question on recruitment, because you specifically mentioned Youth Challenge, but how else is it advertised? How else are you doing recruitment?
That's the only recruitment. Those are the only kids that were eligible to have as part of ours. Yeah. If it was the Youth Challenge, they're able to go throughout the state and get more kids that way. But our kids have to graduate the Youth Challenge first.
Required. And then question, and you said everyone has been placed that has gone through the program, right? 100%
for
placement.
Class 8. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if that is not to happen, are there any contingency plans in place, next steps for the youth? go through the process?
Yes. So we have a special person that works there that's only worked with people who are to be placed, and that's Sergeant Talavera. So he works with our other OER people to stay in contact with them and to get the kids in. So it's basically mostly, so if they've been out of our program, because they were in class 12 and class 8 has been a while ago. So it's by that time, I think it's more difficult to get the kids to get them placed. But I mean, Sergeant Talavera is constantly reaching out. And also Hugh, I think, works well with Sergeant Talavera to get those kids placed if they don't have anything.
Any feedback from the youth committee on programs that they'd like to see, or
I would love to tour it.
Yeah,
I've never heard in
graduation, Tony.
Yeah, so they can see how proud, you know. I know we're strangers, but it's good to show the pride that community has.
Yeah,
and especially coming from raising military children. It's a good thing for them to see and maybe even mention those connections, like you're a veteran, and so people can see the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, yeah. I'll go with you, Maggie, and then your name.
Yeah,
we have our graduation come in April 2nd, and then our big graduation in June.
So June's the big.
Yeah, June 6th is our big graduation.
June 6th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
June 6th.
Thank you.
Staff Sergeant, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's very good. And now we have some informational items to come before the committee, and I believe you're presenting.
Yes. Thank you again for having me.
Thank you
so much.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Maggie Lopez. I am the Workforce Programs Manager. I am your Title I programs. We're going to go ahead and get started. Can you go back one? So here we have youth demographics overall for Orange County. And within the age range, a majority of them at least from 10 to 24, which 10 to 24 years of age, which is within the age range of our youth program participants. We do show the difference between the population for 2024 and 2025. So we do see a slight decrease in that. Next slide, please. On this slide, we do have the demographics for those participants enrolled in our program up through second quarter, which is 516 participants overall that we've served. Gender is they're on there for 267 female, 246 male, and three that did not want to disclose. Age break, so we also see that on there. A majority of our youth are between the ages of 14 to 18, which is 249 of them. 172 of them are within the age range of 19 to 21, and a slight change there for our older youth, 22, 24. Because those in some cases may also be enrolled in the adult programming as well. Next slide, please. On here, we wanted to provide you some information on the barriers that our youth come with or are faced with. Out of the 516, 508 of them are low income. We do have 40 that come from foster care or are in foster care. 358 of them are basic skills deficient, which means that they have pretty low reading and math grade levels there. We do have 33 parenting or pregnant youth, 147 homeless youth, and that's that they've disclosed. We may have more, but this is based off whatever they self-disclose at time of enrollment. 39 offenders and 135 youth with disabilities of some sort. So as you can see, we do serve the hardest to serve, but during the time that they're in the program, our goal is to try to assist with some of those barriers to ensure that they're successful in the program with providing them resources and or supportive services to be able to overcome some of those barriers. Next slide, please. Next slide. So here's our program updates for quarter two. So as of quarter two, we had 348 out-of-school youth enrolled out of the goal of 420. We also had, compared to last year on there, we have the numbers on there, 253 out of the 420 where we were at as of second quarter last year. So you do see that increase there. We also, for this year, have 168 in school youth. And the goal for that one is 140. So we have exceeded that goal already as of second quarter. And then for last program year, by this time, we were at 91 out of the 140. So Ready Set OC has been doing a really great job in doing outreach, enrolling, and addressing a lot of these barriers that our youth have in order for them to be successful. Then that that next section there, we do see our target performance. So placement into second quarter, of course, the ones on the right are the 24, 25 actuals as of then. And then we have a comparison for you guys for where they were at as of last year during the same time frame. So out of the goal of 68, we are at 64.8 already. So, and that, of course, still is close to where we need to be. And we still have two quarters of data that are still left to report there. For placement in fourth quarter, we are at 63.60 out of the 65. And for medium earnings, we've already achieved that goal, which is 5,440 is the medium earnings as of second quarter, and the goal was 4,500 there. Credential rate, that has been going up 35.2 out of the 55. And so remember, for a lot of the youth in our program, if they're younger youth, they may still be working towards a high school diploma, which takes a little bit longer. So there's a little bit of a delay there. But we have been working with a lot of the youth to do occupational skills training certificates in order to obtain some of those credentials. So we're working on that. We're making good progress compared to last year. You can see by this time we were only at 15.4. And then for in-program skills gain or MSG gain is 49.5 out of the 55. So making really good progress. So most of these are goals or performance that they meet during follow-up. So that's where the real work begins. So a youth may be enrolled in our program for a year or longer. Once they exit, then this is where this really begins to count. So we follow on, we do follow-up. So for the participants that you were asking about, although they may be done with the California Job Challenge program, they may still be enrolled with Ready Set OC. And so we assist in providing them services. And then once they're done with our program, which is typically once they've got a job, they've entered the military, or they've gone to college, we still follow them for a year to assist them with employment retention or getting a better job or providing additional assistance for training, which will help them move on to a bit better path. So, yes. So on here, you do see the information for the top three training programs that we've had. A big portion of our youth have been choosing to go into that nursing assistant program. We had 34 youth complete during second quarter. We actually had four complete the clinical and administrative medical assistant training, which is more of the back office as well. So a lot of our youth are choosing that healthcare industry. And then we have two that have gone or that completed the fundamental security cohort. So a lot of those youth are coming from California Job Challenge. We also have youth throughout the community or throughout the county that also go into some of those training programs once they're done with college, or those that come in as an out of school that are looking to move on to bigger and better things and really be able to provide for their families as well. Some of the highlights that we have on here are California Job Challenge Class 11 graduates. We actually had 85 graduates that were that had completed the last graduation that we attended. And out of those, 62 of them were Ready Set OC participants. And so those included those 34 CNAs that we had, 9 in automotive technology, 6 in construction, and 11 of them in welding. We also had financial literacy during second quarter. So we had 9 participants completed a 5-week session that was facilitated by US Bank. And so what they do is they meet with the clients to make sure that they provide basic financial literacy topics, including understanding your money, values and influence, saving your goals and your future, budgeting for the real world expenses, building a strong personal reputation, and borrowing basics. So we try to offer a series of financial literacy program components for our youth to be able to understand.
Yes. Do we know why such a low number?
Some of mandatory. Correct. It's not mandatory. And some of them may have already completed. And so a lot of times if they completed previous quarter, they're like, we've already done it. We're moving on. We're doing other stuff because they're so busy. A lot of them are still going to school. They're doing college. They're working. And so for a lot of them, they're like, okay, we got this. They've attended in the past. We also did the summer youth camp one as well. So that's why those numbers are low. Yeah.
And one quick follow-up. How is that program done? Is it in-person, Zoom?
So it varies. This one was done virtually just to be able to make it more accommodating for the youth that are running from one place to another. But we also have some that come in and do it in person. So it's a combination. We try to offer one person, one virtual, and then at least one per quarter. Yeah, to ensure that we're able to cover everybody. If some youth is unable or a few youth are unable to do it, then the case manager will sit down one-on-one and do it to make sure that they can benefit from that as well.
And so, the summer program run by the Harvard students is all in person.
Yes.
Okay.
Next slide, please.
Oh, before you get to that one, we left off service location updates.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Yeah. We are currently providing services in person and virtually from the Brea location, which is our comprehensive center. We also have our affiliate location out in Laguna. We also have our Manchester office building, or MOB, which is in Orange, and that provides services mainly to anybody that's justice involved. We also provide services at the base, Los Alamitos Training Base, or California Job Challenge participants and or any youth that are living closer to that area. And then we do drop-in center hours at Orangewood twice a month as well to be able to serve. And then from there, of course,
shelters.
Yes, that's really the adults. We are providing at the Mercy House shelters as of the last quarter as well. And then of course we do meet clients where they're at. So if anybody can't come to any of our locations, we may meet with them at the mobile unit, or we may identify another location closer to their area.
And then the schools, right?
Correct. We're also doing presentations at the schools, Tustin Unified. It depends where we have clients enrolled, Learning for Life. We have Pathways. We have a lot of different schools that we're working with. And as needed, we go out there and we do it when they have large groups of youth enrolled in the program as well.
Could we get at least of those
two? Sure. I think Capo Unified, Tustin Unified, Orange Unified.
That way we just, add it to your
Of course.
That way we can know. And especially where it's lacking.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll do. We'll add it for next time.
Thanks, Meg.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Is this your name?
That's you.
Okay. Policy review. So upcoming updates, we are updating two policies that are really connected to you, which is the incentives and stipends policy. So all sub recipients of WIOA funded may provide incentives and stipends to participants enrolled in WIOA programs to encourage participation and achieve successful outcomes. So this policy is being updated. Revisions will include the following: aligning the policy with the latest workforce directive on stipends and incentive that was released in May of 2024 to ensure WIOA compliance and to provide better guidance for our service providers. We are also updating definitions and guidelines for stipends and incentives. And we're updating the information the service provider needs to include in their incentive plan to ensure that when we approve, we're in compliance. So basically they're detailing what makes a participant eligible for an incentive, how much can they get, and the documentation that is required for each of those incentives or stipends. And then strengthening the documentation and record keeping procedures as well.
So we bring the policies to the committees that it affects the programming for you to discuss, and before we bring it to the full board for action. And so if you see something, you're like, hey, that doesn't make sense, could you guys address that when you do your red lines? This is the time to discuss it, because the full board's so packed with other things. It's the deep dive here. So those are the two policies related to youth that we'll be bringing to the full board in April.
I really like that you are asking the providers to actually present how they're going to distribute the stipends. I really like that.
Okay.
Because I One, I would like to see who are the providers nowadays, because I'm sure it has changed. So maybe a list of all providers so that we know who are the partners that are providing these services and their enrollment, because for during the COVID, and we knew it was a COVID issue,
right?
The numbers were so low, and a lot of the providers were not meeting their quota, I want to say.
Right.
But also, a year after the COVID, we were still in those challenges. The recruitment was going to be really hard.
And I think they're looking at these lately,
the
numbers, we're finally starting to come out of that, but boy, they were
so bad.
They were bad.
Yeah.
The exit is like up to 2 years prior.
Right.
Yeah.
So finally,
coming out of it. Yeah.
So I think it will be great maybe for the next meeting to have an update on who are the providers, what are their enrollments. And a lot of them had challenges, so I love the straightening documentation and records procedure.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the big challenges, that they were not reporting in time so they could get money.
Money.
Right.
And so maybe an update on how they're doing, just so that we are updated on that.
Yeah.
Good comments.
Very good.
And the next slide, please. And so the other policy that we will be updating is a supportive service policy. And subrecipients or WIOA funds are required to provide access to supportive services to participants who are enrolled in WIOA programs to enable an individual to participate in WIOA activities. So this policy is being updated and will include revisions such as reviewing and updating sequence of service as related to supportive services, simplifying guidelines and eligibility and required documentation, and really clarifying acceptable forms of documentation to verify the need, and then updating regulations to ensure policy aligns with the latest state and federal guidelines.
And didn't we do this with all those things we were doing, the red lines?
We did.
And all
we did. So this is a little bit different. It's more geared towards the youth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And all those barriers that you see listed, we want to make sure that we're meeting them, but we're also putting in checks and balances that there's not abuse.
Right.
And this one will apply for adult and youth as well. The other one's mainly for youth.
Yeah, and so you'll see at the youth committees, I do a lot less talking. We bring our program staff out, presenters, because this is where you kind of really get into the meat of the program. And then when the policy is all done, I'll just present it to the larger committee.
And so upcoming events, we have our rapid response presentations for recently laid off workers, which is coming up. And that normally takes place on the second Wednesday of every month from 10 to 12. That takes place virtually, unless the employer decides and asks for one in person.
And these are the results of WARN notices to you?
Yes. And then we also have the now hiring event for LAPD. Mm-hmm. And so typically we do have them come on site and do testing at our centers. And the next one's going to be on Thursday, April 3rd at 1 o'clock. And last month, we actually had a really good turnout.
Yeah,
so,
And this WARN, so we respond to specific businesses, like if Boeing laid off, we would go to Boeing and do a special. So this is more for anyone who's been affected, maybe not even through a WARN. We can still offer those same resources.
Okay.
So we hold a general monthly, as well as responding to the businesses directly.
And then how do people know about this?
It's on our website as well. Also our business team and all of our case workers. We kind of we could share it with like HR departments. Or
this is beyond WARN. This is just small layoffs that people got laid off. That didn't trigger.
Yeah, because so they would qualify for to be a dislocated worker.
Yeah. Is there any way that you can? Well, I know we get it, and we can go, but if you send it to us, like for example, in my world, UFCW, who represents the food stores, they're facing a lot of layoffs. For example, Stater Brothers and all of the Ralphs and all of that, they're triggering layoffs on the people who bag the groceries. So that's youth most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be something that we can provide them with information.
Absolutely.
We were there last week. we actually went and did a rapid response. We put two computers and we were ready for unemployment. So there, it's happening.
Yeah.
So if we could just connect them, that would be.
Yeah, necessary. That's a good idea, because Doria has access to really a vast army of workers, and we are seeing, you know, layoffs now.
Yes. Multiple levels.
Right.
And I know you have heard some of the teachers are going through that fight right now. So I think it will be, I mean, I hope not, but I think it will be appropriate even to mention it. So if you send it to me, I'll send it to the president and then they'll know what's going on.
And then hiring events. So we typically have hiring events at both locations. This was the one for Thursday, March 20th is the upcoming one at Brea. And then we also have, so we have at least one of each locations, one in Brea and one at Laguna, on a monthly basis.
So that's just upcoming, but we recently just had, we do hiring events, career fairs, we do career exploration for youth as well. We did the apprenticeship one where Randy went. We recently did healthcare, and Bee volunteered and brought her Providence resources. So they got to speak with someone that's actually hiring, learn more about the field too. So we'll bring those as they come up. And the last item for programs is successes and challenges. Are you seeing anything that you need the help of the board to advocate for, or resources, research?
I think we can always use more websites, so you guys can spread the word. We are always looking for businesses that are willing to train our participants. A lot of them do face different challenges and need special accommodations. And so therefore, when we're sending them to work sites, sometimes that's a little bit of a struggle because the businesses don't have time. To actually
the work experience.
Correct. Yeah.
So to the work experience is a paid internship, but the participants don't come trained. It's so they can gain.
So they can learn basic
skills. It's a first experience.
It is. Yeah. So someone at work site that, you know, has the time or to train them and offer them a chance to build their resume basically so they can get another job.
And sometimes there are larger companies can do that better than a smaller company.
Yeah.
Like our contract is a small, medium size.
Right.
They're like, I don't know.
Right.
But like Disney's of the world, you know, they have shadow people there.
So we're always looking for that, looking for opportunities for people with youth with disabilities, not even just youth, even adults with disabilities, and justice involved are the two main struggles. It's a little bit harder. Yeah, replacement into what sort of transitional jobs for them. So always can use your help.
Good.
Thank you. Any questions for Meg? She runs both adult and youth, but thanks so much, Maggie.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, we're at the chair.
Thank you, Chair. So a few updates. We have a newsletter finally for your board coming out at the end of March. And we're going to do it monthly, and then quarterly we'll hit the bigger things. Quarterly we'll hit like more numbers. It's harder, I think, when it's a public newsletter for them to understand the monthly numbers. And so the monthly will just be more resources, updates. We do want to do board member highlights. So Rick will be sending out a survey of like, why did you get into the field you're in? What's your best career tip that we can share? We'll start, we just did Annalise, and then we'll go with the chairs and go to the board and highlight each kind of person that's on the board with your beautiful new headshots as well. And so that should be coming out. I think you've been asking for that for a while. So that's coming to fruition. Let's see. And then this was just a question. It's so small. I can't see it. If you guys can see it. I can't see it. So a question for the committee structure. As you can see, with a small committee, quorum is every single person. One person's out, we can't even hold the meeting. We do our due diligence and do a pre-call to you guys to see, because there's a lot of staff agenda work, program work, presenters. Will you be there? And if we get the yes, then we start developing the agenda. Because if you're not, there's no, you know, need to put all those staff resources there. So then we do that. And then if emergencies happen, It's difficult to get quorum with a smaller board. So a proposal, and it's up to you guys, is to combine this with the one-stop oversight committee, which is also five people. And so again, quorum there is hard, but you would have a more robust discussion, I think, of programs in totality. We could still put youth as a special section to discuss, because I think it is important to highlight the youth programs. Up to your discussion and discretion, though. Happy to do either, but it's really, then the committee members really got to commit to coming, and which you do, and you're all super busy, but just how do we make it more amenable that we can hold these discussions, because they're very important.
And we are talking about events at one stop.
Yeah.
So it seems to me like it would fit.
Uh-huh.
And why have two meetings? We could have one meeting, you know, for you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
respectful of our meetings.
And I think we serve on both committees at one point.
Right. You could be at one meeting.
But you know what? Yeah. The reason why it was because it's so combined.
Yeah.
That you need to know what's going on in one.
In
to
one
be able
for
to
the
respond
other.
To the
yeah.
other.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only. Yeah, well, we do not oversaturate the agenda,
right?
Because if we do have other meetings or emergencies,
right,
we might need to leave, and we don't want to leave in the middle of a meeting that is important, that has a lot of targeted issues.
And that's the other thing, if anyone were to step out right now, the meeting would end.
Yes.
Because if you don't have a quorum, mm-hmm. you can't even continue the meeting, so
yeah.
you can't use the restroom. So.
Yeah. Is there, is the, is the one stop a lot of information?
Sometimes, like when we were opening new sites,
yeah.
I mean, we had a lot of
yeah.
discussion, but
there's a lot more, I think, process and procedure
yes.
with that committee.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like the one-stop MOU, the development of that, the continuous improvement plan, the site evaluations, adult programming is lumped in with the one-stop
mm-hmm.
operations as well. And so, you know, there was a time back in the day where youth councils were mandated so they wouldn't get overshadowed in kind of the over view of the one stop. But so it's not mandated any further, but I still think it's very important to highlight, but up to you guys on, I see both sides, right?
As long as you keep the name together, I think you can justify without one meeting, you know what I mean? That youth and one-stop oversight committee.
Mm,
that's
okay,
it.
Okay.
So it's like youth has a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's not mandated, but
mm-hmm.
I think youth is very important to be highlighted. I don't know.
Or at least included in the
title.
Yeah. So what did we say? I can't see that for performance. Performance programs and service delivery committee, and then parentheticals, one-stop programs and youth.
Yeah, as long as you have been there somewhere,
yeah.
I think it will make people feel more comfortable that you're not overshadowing.
Okay, it's the intent of the
yeah.
meeting.
Yeah.
Nothing to vote on. It's, I mean, we can at any point.
I would have no
problem. Okay. Thank you for the discussion.
Make it easy on you
yeah.
all. And, you know, I think that's important.
Yeah. So cool things that we're doing for the youth programs, partnership and development with the county itself, the Career Academy. So it's very hard to get a county job. Lots of people want a county job. College education is not maybe their route. So directly from high school, recruiting people in two pathways. It's kind of like I don't want to call it paid internship because they're actually an employee, but it's time limited for 1 year. You get to learn how to be a laborer pathway with OC Waste and Recycling, or a clerical pathway where you're placed throughout the county. And so what would happen is there's an onboarding process and a training process. They're paid, I think, entry level wages. And then at the 6 month mark, they can apply to a actual open position within the county because now they have some government experience. And so this is something we've been working on with CEO Human Resources. That's kind of cool. They're also going to be, oh yeah, Tom.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, because
yeah.
he has problems hiring. There's
yeah.
always openings.
So these are youth. They're
great.
Coming
yeah.
straight up. And so it's still, we're kind of trying to see how we can kind of into like an apprenticeship, or how, what are the resources available? Can we do, you know, sub wage subsidies? So we're trying to figure that part out, but the program has already gone through half of its first cohort. The next cohort begins in July. And so it's something cool that we're working on for
you. Like what happens at the end of the year?
At the end of the year, I mean, ideally there's a position open that
they've got some experience.
It's not, they have a whole year of government experience. They can go to the different cities, different counties. And so it's just really hard to get that government experience. And so just one pathway we're working on. And then within the local plan, and you know, the public comment period ended last week. But just specifically for youth, I just kind of pulled that out with my wonderful Nancy over there. Two bricks, but okay. So the priority of out-of-school youth, Anaheim continues to focus completely 100% on out-of-school youth, no in-school youth. Santa Ana will do 80-20, and we do 75-25. 75 out-of-school youth programming and 25% in-school youth programming. Just for your kind of
doesn't Anna have, don't they have to have a proportion of in school? No,
and what are the programs with them? Something similar?
Oh yeah, similar funding, same goals. I think their performance is a little bit different. We all negotiate our performance with the state, but same programming. And then work-based learning, that's the work experience. In the prior plan, we were focused on summer jobs and pre-apprenticeships. I think this year, as Maggie mentioned too, we really want to get the work experience, because we're finding you can't get a job till you have experience, can't get experience till you have a job. So just trying to close that gap and focus on year-round work experience versus just summer. And support services, which the policy will align with. We're extending more wraparound services, trying to get more wraparound services, and make sure those checks and balances are also still in there. For educational and digital skills, the last go around, we are focused on GED prep and ESL programs. For the new local regional plan, it's more digital literacy, AI is in there, digital learning tools. Trying to stay up with the trends and make sure that we're focusing our trainings on those. Case management, in our last plan, we were focused on job readiness, career counseling. In the new plan, we're doing more structured career tracking. So more planning progressively, getting the work experience that lines up with that career pathway. Industry exposure as well. So if someone says, I want healthcare, to line up those work experience, those training experience to line up with what they're looking at. So that'll be finalized and taken to, you guys were the first ones to read the draft. So now that public comment closed, just wanted to bring you what was finalized.
So you mentioned the AI part.
Yeah.
How is that being implemented? Is there a provider? And how many students are going through all of this roughly?
This is for the new plan for 25. So it's still going to the board. One of the things that we did take up to EBD and we did get approval for, we still haven't purchased, was to create a multimedia lab in the youth side with all the latest graphic cards. And so coming soon, if I have pictures, I will get them. But the list team is also in the process of procuring. It takes so long to get something procured. So this has been in the works. And
is there any cross training or cross cooperation with the three of you working together or no?
Absolutely. With Annette is our regional organizer, and so we'll also.
So Annette is the one.
So she goes to all the meetings everywhere that the three of us can't get to, and then we have a director's meeting every other week, and then Lenardi as well.
We'll have a special award for her for going to three every workforce meetings. to dealing with all of this.
It'd be the most fun though. And then, Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
Any discussions? Everybody feel okay about combining the two committees? We'll give the staff a little bit of a break, although they still will have to have the same amount of material presented. But I'm amenable with that. I think that would be good.
I do have one item whenever you can.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So I wanted to highlight the rate at which AI is developing. You know, I'm involved in that. We have used that in our company and many other things. So it's developing at a rate that is way beyond anybody can wrap their head around.
Wow.
Right.
And so people are saying that next year, you could see systems where ChatGPT or something like that can do something better than any human or
crazy?
All humans on,
right.
on the earth combined. You know, that's
but
next
doesn't
year.
Someone need to program it? So do we still need people somewhere in that equation?
No.
We don't even
I,
need people.
But I think
it used
it's going
to be that you program it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now
it programs
examples
oh my
that
gosh.
It programs itself.
But
so
still, it like I'm computer illiterate. And I've discovered those things, you know, even just writing an email. Do you want help writing this email? No. And I finally went, yes. And I went, wow, that actually looks coherent. I'm going to use that. And but you do realize you have
to. It sound weird when you texted me.
Yeah. Yes. People have complained about my text. I need help with the text. But it makes... You know, I still have to do the work, but it makes it a lot easier. And I still find you do have to go in and go, I would not say that.
Right.
They are
right.
not going to think I said this, you know. But boy, is it helpful. And I just had one. We were on a Zoom with IBEW, and all of a sudden at the end of it, this phantom came up and it said, do you want to, you know. Holy cow, I'm sitting here taking notes and here was this right in front. So I don't think it's eliminating me, but I
think Raj is right. We have no kind of like even understanding of where that's going to go.
The reason why I brought that up is that, you know, I see the wonderful presentations, you know, this whole group and extended group, we are also focused on training people.
Mm-hmm.
But a part of me is saying, like, we're training for this world.
Yeah.
While in front of our
yes.
eyes, the world is
so yes.
So I just wanted to bring that
that's
up.
A good point.
What are we doing to consciously, you know, grapple with that, right? Mm-hmm. Or are we like, is this too hard to think about it and just keep doing the same thing?
Yeah.
No, I think you need to, because I noticed even with the sunburst and anybody that's doing automotive training, they're dealing with diesel and this,
electric.
And we are... We're rapidly moving into electric, but we're going to rapidly in diesel.
Right.
They're really pushing hydrogen,
right.
you know,
right.
and pretty soon it's going to be, okay, how do we work on this? Is it a similar type of engine? But the electric thing, they just put the first electric tug in San Diego.
Yeah.
And this is a big...
Even
a
car mechanics are now really more software engineers versus a car.
You got to plug the computer in and it died, you know.
So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on that. If you guys in the industry and the board have any input, absolutely help
so
us.
If I can make a little, like, double click on that. You know?
Absolutely.
So just to kind of structure this, because the world of training is so vast, you got cars and all these other things.
Health
so let's just. Bucket them in two categories.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call one bucket the laptop jobs.
Laptop
the jobs that you do on the laptop.
Uh-huh.
And then everything else where you have to move your body or do something with your hands over there, right? So I want us to focus on the laptop jobs because those are the ones most at risk, right? Because it started with email, can I type your email? But I'm telling you, like, we are still talking about email is like, two-year-old feature. So in our company, we see the features. And, you know, 2 years ago, we started being surprised. And there has not been one day break where we were like, okay, I'm not surprised today.
Yeah.
It's
all the time.
You know, it's like this thing wants to just take off like that.
Yeah.
So I see the 25. My question is, like, how is this being factored into that plan? And are you looking for people to come in and kind of play a little bit more active role, like people like myself, kind of give input and feedback and jump in.
Go ahead. No, but well, just piggybacking off of that, right? Like, the world is changing and it's changing very rapidly and with the use of AI, but there are so many opportunities. You know, you just went to a conference, it's not perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a computer, it's not a human. And there is some jobs that AI, it's going to be just really challenging for AI to do in general, but there have been some opportunities with biases. Right, like just understanding the systems, how they work, how they program,
how for litigation in my world, we don't really leverage it too much because we get nervous with, with all of our information being out there. And these jobs are labor jobs in the hospitality industry. It's really hard for a computer to teach how to make a bed, right? So there's going to be some areas and industries where it's not going to be as feasible. But I think discovering those gaps and maybe start
doing analysis.
Yeah, seeing where there's some opportunities for those that have the laptop jobs to really kind of get in there and understand maybe those areas,
especially our youth, the technology starting out.
And
just to piggyback on that, WorkCon, which is, I always attend because it's so nice.
Yes.
I was going to suggest,
please come to the board meeting on April 30th prior to work.
Okay. Because what I did is I actually visited every single vendor's table, and there's
some
organizations who are actually looking at the jobs of the future. And perhaps by connecting with them, they could become one of the providers or partner with one of the providers to do that specific training that is missing. Because that was part of the education that they were offering.
Really good.
And so since it's in Costa Mesa, I know I'm going to be attending because I requested to attend. I really like those because that's where everything opens up in information. But I think maybe a couple of other board members should visit because it's local.
So that was my other question. So how many are attending and your agency is going to pay? How many are attending that we can sponsor? So I have currently Tawny and Gloria.
It's in Costa Mesa. I don't need the hotel room.
No. That's why I can send more people.
So what is there a registration?
We would do it.
Okay.
And then, but you have to come to the board meeting on April 3rd.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be out of town April 3rd, but I'm leaving you know now.
Oh,
that I am
April 30th.
Related to that, yesterday my colleague got a call from a customer asking him to join him in a presentation about how our virtual reality
visited them,
saved them a ton of money, and he's just his mind's blown.
Are you going to the CWC conference? Are you paying for your own registration?
I don't know if I'll go, but
This
way or that way, you know, I could be there. Maybe they'll cover our or maybe
it helps my budget if other people are covered. I do need to know because we have to put a special Brown Act notice that hey, the majority of our public board will be attending this together. So we're not going to discuss or vote on things there, but we're all in the same conference.
Yes.
So so I just need that count. So far, I'm only paying for two.
If you pay the registration, that'll save me going to my e-board and dragging it out.
Just to clarify, you don't have to pay for me.
Thank you. Yeah. But I'd love to see you there after a board meeting. Okay.
Not that if
especially for youth outreach, and I think we included this at the full board meeting, but I mean, instead of giving out your card, it scans to our Workforce Solutions Center.
Oh,
so you see a youth that or anybody that is interested in a job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah, it's our board to hand out to people. And that way they don't have to, your personal information goes through your website.
I get so many inbounds because they think I'm at the board, so I'm buying.
Right. So then you just give this. Yes, I'm with the board, but go call the Workforce Center.
Yeah. Don't call me.
That's all I have, Chair.
But Raj makes a really good point on this. This is amazing to me, but it's happening so fast.
Yeah.
That's like you said, that's so last year, you know. I'm blown away, but my God, it's just bam.
But my point is for these kids
who
are served.
Yeah.
I mean, if we could do this right, we could be doing them a lot of favor because the favorite thing among CEOs of big companies is it won't, you know, maybe it'll be a few years before AI takes your job, but it'll be a kid with a laptop and AI.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm thinking, how can this board help some of these kids take advantage
absolutely
of that?
That's
well,
right.
And this is the generation to do it, right? They grew up on it.
Yeah.
Well, when I tell all the young people how this is really amazing, they look at me like, holy crap, where have you been? You know?
All right, Chair, we've got to adjourn the meeting.
I come from the last century. I'll call this meeting adjourned at 11:06.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.